Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We have reviewed a lot of Christmas hymns here on Issues, etc. over the last 20 years or so. And they all have some things in common. They all tell the story of Christ's birth. Most of them focus narrowly on that birth. Some of them give us the facts, may extol us to rejoice in these facts. Some of them explain why Jesus is born, but very few do what the hymn we're going to be looking at right now, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is, does. And that is really explain the birth of Jesus Christ as key, as really part and parcel of our entire salvation. All of Christian theology wrapped up in, well, one Christmas hymn. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Christmas Eve. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to begin today's show studying this Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is, and then we'll talk with Pastor Will Whedon about the church's observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest. He's a regular guest, professor of New Testament, and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Jest, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Wonderful to be with you on this eve in which we celebrate our Lord's birth.
Am I overstating the case with respect to this hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is, that this may well be the most theologically substantive Christmas hymn there is?
I think you're not. I mean, it is a hymn. I'm so delighted we're talking about it. It's a hymn that I have just come to love. I think that the new tune that is now with this text by Kenneth Koshy is just sublime. The only other hymn, I've been thinking about this, the only other hymn that might rival it is Of the Father's Love Begotten. But, I mean, I think that this hymn by Gerhardt delves in, as Gerhardt does, into the way in which we appropriate Christmas for ourselves. And it's Gerhardt is a much more personal hymn writer. He's what many people call kind of the poet of the heart. And he is. I mean, he just hits us right where we are. I mean, he is the suffering poet of the heart. And we really understand the meaning of Christmas for us through this in a deeply, deeply theological way, but one that is poetic and one that is accessible. I mean, you really understand what he's trying to do as you hear this hymn.
Let's talk a little bit about the two men who contribute to the hymn as we're going to study it today. First of all, the text's author, Paul Gerhardt, and then we'll talk about Ken Koshy you mentioned a moment ago.
Well, Paul Gerhardt, you know, who is, you know, at the beginning of the 17th century, 1607 to 76, so he was at a time where, you know, it's post-Reformation, and maybe the most prolific and in many ways influential hymn writer in the German language. I mean, we've inherited a lot of his hymns in our hymnody, and there's not one of them that doesn't, in some way, pierce through, you know, the hardness of our hearts and just open up through the theology and the poetry, you know, our emotions. I mean, he really does get at, you know, sort of the more subjective part of the faith. I wrote an essay on him years ago for the Good Shepherd Institute, and I was so surprised how, you know, he was at a time thought as being kind of a pietistic writer, and that he was too subjective, he was too emotional, and yet, you know, if you think about it, 400 years after his birth or more, here we are singing his hymns, you know, like this one, like Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me, like Evening and Morning, I mean, O Sacred Head, Thou Wounded, I mean, these are hymns that still speak to us today. And I, you know, he was a man who suffered greatly. He suffered professionally. He was persecuted, you know, because of his theological positions over and against the Calvinists. He suffered personal loss. I think four of his five children, his wife died. And yet he writes these incredible hymns of consolation, incredible hymns of comfort, but done in such a way that we can't help but marvel at the depths of his theology. Now, as far as the hymn writer, he's—I don't want to say a friend, but I know him through his daughter, who is in our program, deaconess program, Ann Koshy, now Ann Baker, and Kenneth is a wonderful musician. And what I understand is that for many years he would send poetry for Christmas cards to his friends, and sometimes compose a tune. And this was a Christmas card, the tune for this hymn that he called Paradisum, that comes, of course, from that first line, O Jesus Christ, thy manger is my paradise. This was a Christmas card in 1996, and its first appearance was in our hymnal supplement as a tune to go along with this hymn. And it is just delightful. I mean, he still is writing music. He's up at Concordia University in Mequon, Wisconsin. I think he's still teaching on the faculty there. He's been there since 1978. But, I mean, what a magnificent tune to wed to this text. And it, I think what it has done, it was a hymn in TLH. It wasn't in LW. That's the Lutheran hymnal and Lutheran worship. But I think that the tune in the Lutheran hymnal, TLH, was not as accessible as this tune. And I think many people are discovering the rich, rich text here because it has such an extraordinary tune that goes along with it now.
Dr. Jester, we're going to go through this hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is, stanza by stanza. The first stanza, what should we be listening for?
Well, this is the best stanza of them all. So, I mean, we can dwell on this, but what we're going to want to do is we're going to want to look at the notion of paradise and how we enter paradise in the manger, that eternal life is already present there in the eternal one. And I think that's his main, and the fact that he calls him the Word, you know, so made flesh for us, it's all here, you know, and that there is a sense there that we Christmas is a time where we just sort of fall back in repose into the incarnation itself. We've been restored.
The first stanza of Gerhardt's hymn, O Jesus Christ, thy manger is. O Jesus Christ, thy manger is my paradise, at which my soul reclineth. For there, O Lord, doth lie the Word made flesh for us. Herein thy grace forth shineth. Dr. Just, take us into that stanza.
This is perhaps one of the finest stanzas ever written. I mean, I think we've probably said that before on this program, but boy, it's pretty hard to get anything better than this, and it certainly is in this particular hymn. It focuses our eyes on the manger, and the manger is described here as paradise. And I think we forget that paradise begins with the incarnation, that when Jesus is born, you know, eternity now is present in the creation, and that all who are now going to be bound to him, which is one of the great themes of this hymn by Gerhardt, have entered into paradise already, that paradise is here now in the person of Jesus, and if we are joined to that person, then we have paradise now. I love the sense of the manger as paradise is a place of rest. He uses the language there of in which my soul reclineth. You really get a sense there of the peace that Christmas is to bring. And the sense that, you know, now that Christ has come into the world, you know, we don't have to fight the battle ourselves. He's going to fight it for us, and he's going to win. And so there is this, you know, the idea of just kind of falling back and letting God take you and falling into the manger as a place where you can just sink into and rest is just a magnificent image. He calls Jesus here Lord, and then he calls him the Word, doth lie the Word. Here is the citation from John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. I mean, here is this child in the manger, this baby, is the Word, capitalized in Gerhardt's hymn, made flesh for us. I mean, here, there is the almost exact citation from John 1:14. And then he picks up on the idea that the presence of Christ in the manger as the Word made flesh is God's Christmas gift. That's what grace means. And it shines forth. And all the imagery that comes from the star that shines, the brightness of the star that leads them to Bethlehem. But now the light has dawned in the world, and all the images of light that come, again, from the first chapter of John's Gospel, break forth through this particular verse. It is just sublime in every way. And you just have to kind of sit back. I think if you're singing this, you almost want an interlude after this, so that you can ponder the depths that are in this verse.
One thing before we listen to the second stanza and take our break, he combines Luke and John perfectly here. He doesn't have the Word becoming flesh in some sort of ethereal sense or philosophical sense. He takes John and points John straight at the manger of Luke's account. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You said it very well. And, you know, the manger is one of the great images for us at Christmas. It's humility. It's poverty. He's going to bring that up in another verse. But what's I think so great about the manger is that it's concrete. I mean, it's where you put a baby, or it's where you put, you know, an animal. You know, it's a place of rest. It's a place that we can see. And the idea of a manger is the locatedness of God now in the world. There's actually a place where you can go and see the child, you know, and it's small and it's humble and it's in a stable, but it's real. And you know, that's, I think, the most extraordinary part of Luke's, you know, Christmas story is that it's in Bethlehem. It's in a stable. It's in a manger. There's Mary and Joseph. There are shepherds. There are witnesses. And the manger, I think, is one of the great images. It's one of the reasons why the creche scene is such a significant part of people's piety and has been for centuries and centuries.
When we come back from our break, we will hear the second stanza of O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. Our guest is Dr. Arthur Just on this Christmas Eve. He whom the sea and wind obey doth come to serve the sinner in great meekness. Thou, God's own Son, with us art one, dost join us and our children in our weakness. We'll listen to that stanza of this great Christmas hymn right after this.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith in a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at lutheranpublicradio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, lutheranpublicradio.org.
Stanza 2 of the Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. We're studying this Christmas hymn on this Christmas Eve. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Talk about that second stanza, if you would, Dr. Just.
This is a stanza that surprises you, especially the way it begins, because you kind of fast forward to Jesus' ministry when he's, you know, performing miracles like, you know, calming the sea and the wind. In the boat and you know, providing a sense of his power over the creation itself. But what it immediately does, though, is it shows you that this is the Creator who has come to his creation by submitting himself in humility and poverty and meekness to come as an infant, as a newborn, to be taken care of by his mother and his father, and to in a sense be obedient to them, and so you have this incredible juxtaposition that the Creator of all things, who has the power over nature itself, you know, humbles himself in meekness and comes to us sinners, meek, broken sinners in meekness. It reminds me of that colic. Just listening to my good colleague, Dr. Buescher, about the deaconess program, that wonderful colic that, you know, God shows his great power through mercy, and or the idea that, you know, God should be feared because he forgives sins, you know, that the extraordinary humble acts that characterize the ministry of Jesus, that begin with his incarnation in a manger, is I think at the very heart of the whole gospel itself. But then, you know, you come to this citation really from John 17, and this is going to be a theme that is all the way through, that thou, God's own Son, with us art one, dost join us and our children in our weakness. This unity between us and Christ. And here's the verse from John 17:23, where Jesus says, I in them and you in me, that they may become one perfectly, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. This idea of our union with Christ in humility and weakness is the very nature of the Christian life, is the life of mercy. It is the life that we are given when we are baptized. And this is God's own Son, the one who has the power over the winds and the waves. This is the one who joins himself to us. And so the power of God is now shown through our weakness, because we are joined to the one who is meek and mild. Now this is at the very heart of what we as Lutherans call the theology of the cross. And so look at what Gerhard gets in this verse. He gets the power of the Creator, he gets the humility of Jesus' birth, and he gets our union with that, and the weakness that becomes, you know, when I am weak, then I am strong, as Paul says, that in our weakness we show the power of God. It's a mystery, frankly, but he does it all in one verse. It's really quite extraordinary.
One other question on that stanza, and I wonder if there's a reference here to baptism. Join us and our children. And what echoes in my mind are Peter's words, the promises for you and for your children.
For your children, yeah. I think there is. Because, the idea of having union with Christ is what happens in baptism. That we are joined to him by the power of the Holy Spirit in the triune name. And that we are now, you know, one with him. And this is how we become children of God. And the reference there to children indicates that it's a family. It's a baptismal family that has union with Christ. I'm teaching Galatians right now, and it's the climax of his first epistle there to the Galatians. I mean, by first, I mean the first one I think he wrote. And it's joint, it's oneness. We are all one in Christ, in the person of Jesus, the male person of Jesus. We are all one in Christ. And that happens in the waters of holy baptism.
Stanza 3 of O Jesus Christ, thy manger is. Thy light and grace our guilt efface, thy heavenly riches all our loss retrieving. Emmanuel, thy birth doth quell the power of hell and Satan's bold deceiving. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. That's the third stanza of the hymn, O Jesus Christ, thy manger is. Dr. Just, take us into this stanza.
You know, on many levels, this is the most difficult stanza in some way, because it really puts so many different images that we wouldn't perhaps put together. I think the first line is very accessible. Light and grace is what eliminates, which kind of gets rid of our guilt. And again, we're in John chapter 1, that when you shine light, you know, the darkness is dispelled, and our guilt comes from the darkness. And grace is where the forgiveness of sins, the gift, that tells us that we no longer have to bear the guilt of the sins that we've committed. An extraordinary Lutheran statement without using the word forgiveness. Guilt is something that is a very powerful part of all of our lives, and it's I think it's what leads people into sometimes great depression, because they bear this guilt. They haven't recognized that the light and grace of Christ has shined. But what is most extraordinary is this idea that you know, by the heavenly riches that come in the person of Jesus, that heaven comes now to earth. The loss that we had because of our sin, the loss of the brokenness, the loss of, you know, the fullness of what we experience because of sin, the brokenness, the tragedy, the sickness, the death, the suffering, that being joined now to the Heavenly One in that manger kind of retrieves us back to what he intended us to be, in a sense, perfect and without sin, which is really what we become when we're joined to him, and what obviously we will fully become when he returns again in glory. But I love the last part. I mean, this is sort of an echo of his power, but it's Emmanuel, and everybody knows that's God with us. That's the child in the manger. But Emmanuel, the child in the manger, born in that humility, here he is already as a child, as an infant, defeating Satan, defeating hell. And, I had never thought of this until I was kind of looking at this before, we were on the air, that this is Christus Victor. This is Christ conquering Satan as an infant in the manger. So that the minute Jesus is born, Satan is quelling, I mean, he's shaking in his boots, and his bold deceiving is going to be unmasked because the light has dawned, grace has dawned, guilt is effaced. We now have the heavenly riches. I mean, and I never would have thought of putting Emmanuel here. If you look at the hymn, you're going to see that he's going to call, O Lord, in this particular, that little stanza, O Lord, God's own son, Emmanuel, God's own child. I mean, these are all names for Jesus, the child in the manger of Bethlehem.
This stanza reminds me, especially that Emmanuel reference there. I'm glad you went that direction. It reminds me of Benjamin Britten's, from his Ceremony of Carols. He has this little babe. It's difficult to listen to the way it's arranged, but it's all about this baby shaking for cold, babish cries, and all of these things are his weapons against the demonic.
Yeah, that is wonderful. Yeah, I do know that. That's wonderful. Just wonderful.
We're talking about the great Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He has authored the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in His Divine Service. By the way, you can purchase these resources by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, the Concordia Commentaries on Luke, and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service by Dr. Arthur Just. When we come back, the fourth stanza, Thou Christian heart, whoe'er thou art, be of good cheer and let no sorrow move thee, for God's own child in mercy mild joins thee to him, how greatly God must love thee. When we come back, we'll hear that stanza and study the remainder of the Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. It's Christmas Eve. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. This is Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Christians young and old are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldusa.org.
The fourth stanza of the Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying this hymn on this Christmas Eve. Dr. Just, this stanza here for me is quintessentially Gerhardt, but kind of by way of Luther. This so reminds me of Luther talking about, you know, if you would see God bend down and look into this manger, and he talks about, he ends it exactly the same way. You know, what incomprehensible love that God would find himself in this little boy, as Luther says. What are your thoughts?
Oh, gosh, well said. I mean, yeah, this is Gerhardt, the suffering poet of the heart. And he uses that language, thou Christian heart. I mean, here he gets pastoral, personal. He's talking to us after those three really, you know, very dense, beautiful theological verses. He now tells us that this is all about, you know, giving us a sense of hope, good cheer. You know, that in the sorrow of our life, the tragedies, the darkness, and you know, I think this Christmas people are really feeling that. I mean, it's a dark, dark world, and there's a lot of uncertainty and fear, and I mean, people are living in, the climate is different. It's just very, very difficult time right now. I think people need to hear that let no sorrow move thee. And don't you love that Luther and Gerhardt help us recognize that what the incarnation is about love. I mean, there is a great, you know, love caused thy incarnation. You know, that is the ultimate expression of God's love. You know, we oftentimes say of the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, but the giving is begun in the womb of the Virgin Mary and celebrated with his birth in Bethlehem. And in mercy mild, isn't that, you know, that's a expression we've heard in other places. But the mercy mild here is returning to that theme of John 17, that he joins thee to him. And I think you have also a baptismal sense here, that this is how God loves us, by making us his child, you know, by washing us clean and bringing us into the family of God. So this is a deeply, deeply, deeply pastoral verse, and it's just so comforting. It's you again. It's that sense of that first verse that the manger is my paradise in which I just simply recline in peace and rest.
The other thing about this is, and you mentioned this before, but I want you to reiterate it, for God's own child, we often say God's son, and that is, you know, evocative of kind of the adult Jesus. I don't think I've ever heard another hymn writer or poet refer to the baby Jesus as God's own child. It's actually rather it's not only true, but it kind of emphasizes the fact that he enters humanity exactly the same way every human being is born.
It's true. I mean, and you know, that's the marvel and the mystery and why you just sort of are delighted by Christmas, because it's about a child. And I think that's why we've always thought of Christmas as being for children, because it is all starting at the beginning, like everyone does. You know, I have grandchildren now, little ones, and it makes you remember when your children were little. But you know, you look at them and you go, "Oh my gosh, how did we take care of these little things?" And I watch my daughter just love them and take care of them, and how beautiful it is, and yet how fragile they are, that God chose to come in such a fragile way. And that is alerting, God's own child, you know. We do talk about the Christ child, but God's own child, the Father sent Jesus, you know, in a womb as an unborn child, and then as a child in a manger.
The fifth stanza of O Jesus Christ, thy manger is, remember thou what glory now the Lord prepared thee for all earthly sadness. The angel host can never boast of greater glory, greater bliss or gladness.
Remember.
Dr. Jost, how would you explain this fifth stanza?
You know, this is the most difficult of them all, and I have been thinking about its meaning, and I, you might have a different take on this, but I think what Gerhard is trying to do here is to help us see that the reality of earthly sadness is there, and so we have to somehow interpret that sadness. How do we make meaning out of suffering and sadness and loss? And the Lord prepares us for that. I mean, that's that the line that jumps out at you right there. The Lord prepared thee for all earthly sadness. And I think if you look at what precedes it and what follows it, is that we, like, you know, the Gospel of John, that God's glory is shown in the suffering, in the crucifixion, when he is lifted up. And the amazing thing about suffering and sadness is that when that happens to a Christian, it is there in that condition that one sees God's glory. And the fact that Gerhard says, and I think Paul would resonate with this, that this glory that shines forth through our suffering and our sadness is even greater than the bliss or gladness of the angels. Now, that takes faith to believe that. And I think here, all those passages where Paul talks about rejoicing in his suffering and how, you know, he rejoices in his suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces, etc. I mean, that whole notion that you actually find joy in suffering, and I think the way Gerhard puts it is you find glory in suffering. And what he's telling us in this verse is to remember that. And how could we not go to the manger and see in this humble child, you know, the sword that's going to pierce Mary's soul, You know, 40 days after this, they're going to be in the temple. And you know, Simeon is going to tell Mary, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and a sign to be spoken against. This child is going to suffer for the sins of the world. This, and you're going to suffer watching your son do this. And the fact that, that, you know, Jesus was born to suffer, born to die. I mean, the church here really sets us up for that by beginning with the triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. I mean, why go into Jerusalem? Why be on Palm Sunday, on Advent 1? Because it is precisely the point of the incarnation. And so, you know, when we are joined to him, like we were, you know, told in the previous verse, when we are joined to him, we are joined to his suffering. And we are joined to the sadness that comes from living in a world that has been infected with the virus of sin. And yet, he has given us the capacity to understand, to interpret, to embrace that as a means of showing his glory. So that whole reversal, that whole theology of the cross, everything we've talked about in terms of in the humility and the mildness and the meekness of Jesus, we see who Jesus, God, really is. All of that is now brought down to our own earthly sadness and how we understand that as the presence of God for us.
One real quick thought here before we take our break and go into our last segment with you, and that is, you know, a lot of, there can be a tendency of the other Christmas hymnody not to include the sadness or to talk about, and rightly so, to talk about Christ's birth banishing sadness, but this seems a little more realistic in its tenor.
I agree. And that, you know, that is the nature of Gerhardt. I mean, Gerhardt does not shrink from recognizing that, you know, that we live in a broken world. And yet, I don't think there's a hymn writer, a poet, I mean, a pastor, who gives us more hope in the midst of suffering and tragedy and darkness than Gerhardt does. I think that's why he's endured. I think that's why people love him. I think that's why he has become, in many ways, the Lutheran hymn writer who, better than anyone else, captures what it means to be a Lutheran in the world and what it means to understand the nature of our own sufferings as a participation in Christ's sufferings.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is, on this Christmas Eve. The stanza, the sixth and final stanza of O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is, when we come back. The world may hold her wealth and gold, but thou, my heart, keep Christ as thy true treasure. To him hold fast until at last a crown be thine and honor in full measure. That's the last stanza of O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. We'll hear it, and we'll hear from Dr. Arthur Just on it right after this. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. The sixth and final stanza of the Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger, is Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, what are your thoughts on the final stanza?
Well, it is in many ways the simplest of the stanzas, and it's where Gerhard, in a sense now, just is encouraging us to hold fast to Christ, our treasure. If you look in the hymnal, the way it's, these are two verses that don't have the music to them. There are these two central verses, but thou, my heart, keep Christ as thy treasure. And that's like the previous stanza, the Lord prepared thee for all earthly sadness. And they go together. I mean, the Lord prepared us for all earthly sadness because we keep Christ as our true treasure. And here he talks about my heart again, you know, that is, as we said, one of his themes, that he is the poet of the heart. And he used it in verse 4, thou Christian heart, and here he appeals again to our heart. And he points us to where he began, you know, the crown. And that's our paradise. And I think in doing this the way he does it, by saying, thy manger is my paradise, and then to hold him fast, you know, until at last a crown be thine and honor in full measure, he shows us that paradise has already come in Christ, and we are prepared because we have this treasure in this Christ child, this babe in the manger, to be able to receive that crown that we will receive at the end. And in a way, what Gerhard's doing is what all great theologians do, and they collapse all of time into the person of Jesus. So past, present, and future are all there in the baby Jesus. And that's why we celebrate the incarnation as we do, because we see that everything is there in him, and that he is our paradise. He is the one who gives us the crown of glory. And as we said earlier, it comes through our earthly sadness, but that's our treasure. We should rejoice in that, because that is where we see who we are in Christ. So what a wonderful way to contrast what we have in Christ to what the world is calling us to have. And I mean, you know, we hear too much about, you know, the commercialization of Christmas and how Christmas has lost its purpose. But you really do see in a community that gathers together for worship around the great carols of Christmas, the preaching of Christmas and the Lord's Supper, and gather as community, that this is the richest community in the world, because it has Christ there in its heart, in its center, the treasure that no earthly treasure could possibly compare to.
Let's hear the entire hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is.
Ooh.
Dr. Just, 1 minute for your final thoughts on this Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is.
This Christmas, as we all gather together with our church families to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, and then with our own families to rejoice in the great gift that we receive at Christmas in Jesus, may we all be able to see His manger as our paradise, where we can recline with Him and rest and repose, to see that in Him there is the peace that the angels sang about when they announced the birth of the Christ child to the shepherds. May the beauty of this hymn, its serenity, its peace, and its depth, be at the heart of all our thoughts and all our reflections about the meaning of Christmas.
Dr. Arthur Just is Professor of New Testament and Chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He is author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure, and Merry Christmas to all.
And a special thanks to Cantor Kevin Hildebrand and the Contrari of Concordia Theological Seminary for that recording of O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. In the next hour, we'll discuss the Church's observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. Folks, if you've enjoyed our hymn studies this year, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online secure contribution at issuesetc.org. As usual, thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us when you consider your year-end giving. When we come back, Pastor Will Wheaton will take us through how we observe both Christmas Eve today and tomorrow, Christmas Day. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.